podcast. I am your host, Chris Ringler. This is my occasional podcast of weirdness, focusing usually on horror, but once in a while kind of venturing out into other areas of stuff that I kind of am passionate about. This go around, I figured I would kind of continue a thread I started in an earlier podcast, kind of talking about the big horror kind of slasher franchises, because the slasher franchises are kind of where the franchises really are. I mean, there's the Amityville franchise, and there's Saw, and all of those. But, you know, unless you get into the Universal kind of era monsters, there's not really a lot of well-established, long-lasting franchises outside of the slasher ones. So in my previous podcast like this, I had talked about the Friday 13th series and kind of how I felt it was woefully managed, frankly. And this go-around, I thought I would talk about the other kind of big one, because, you know, all of them kind of have their merits and stuff, but the other big one, especially through the 80s, was the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. And it's interesting because with Nightmare, well, it's interesting for two immediate reasons, is Wes Craven kind of started two slasher franchises with that and the Scream franchise, which went four movies deep. And it's funny because it's hard to call, for me, Nightmare on Elm Street, like, it's Freddy doesn't seem like a slasher. Like, he is. He's the Springwood slasher. But, it has a different feel to it. When you think of classic slasher movies, you think of someone in a mask with a knife stalking teens. And again, it runs close to the Freddy stuff, but Freddy is so entrenched in Nightmare and surreality, and he has the finger knives, but he uses them very rarely on his victims. And he just doesn't feel like a slasher. So it's interesting, like, he's part of that kind of pantheon. It's just, for me, he always felt like something else. But again, same thing with Leatherface. Leatherface doesn't feel like a slasher. He's, you know, with the chainsaw and all that, and he didn't really go out. When you think of Leatherface, he didn't really go out looking for people. Even Jason kind of went out a little bit further than were, you know, his staked claim. Leatherface pretty much stayed where he was, and if you kind of got into his area, he kind of would come after you. So, I don't know. It's a quibble, but it's just kind of weird to think of, you know, for me, those two in that mindset. But the Nightmare on Elm Street series is interesting otherwise, because when, you know, you get a young Wes Craven who is, you know, more of an auteur than Sean Cunningham was. Sean Cunningham, you know, all of these younger, these 70s era directors kind of came from a system where you had to do industrial films, commercials, all of this kind of commercial work. So they bring that kind of mentality, but Craven had been working in horror since the 70s and brought a real dark reality to his films. And it's followed through in Nightmare on Elm Street, and it's a shame. You know, I enjoyed the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, but it has its problems, obviously, but the biggest one to me was the sin that they missed out on something. And I mean, maybe it's just an 80s thing, but I don't think so, and I think you could remake it now and even have it more powerful, like this idea of white privilege and white kind of like fortresshood, where you block yourself off from the wider world. And that was something that was in Nightmare on Elm Street, and it wasn't carried over in the remake. And I thought it was fascinating, these adults and these parents who locked their children in as much as they locked the world out, so that they all lived in kind of prisons. And it was very interesting because, you know, it ends up trapping Nancy inside with Freddy in the first film. So it was interesting, this false sense of security, and that's a very American thing, and again, like, I think there was a missed opportunity in the remake, which I think did a lot of stuff right. Not to get off track, but I think getting Freddy back to a, like, a scary character, which, you know, really was started to kind of falter in the main series as he started to tell more jokes and became more of a wisecracking character. Now, I guess if you'd ever seen him more as a human, and that was just who he was, I get it. And it would almost make sense in that he was always kind of trying to seduce children to kind of lure them to kill him. So, I mean, him being kind of funny and outgoing and stuff would make sense. Him being a creepy loner wouldn't, if you're going to try to lure these kids. But I like that, and I like, because it's hard for me, and it's people dance around the idea of Freddy as a molester. It's hard for me. He's a child killer, absolutely, but it's hard to believe that there wasn't something darker in mind. And maybe he, you know, again, is it necessary to even talk about or look, you know, in the films? I don't know that it is. I mean, he's a child killer. That's all you really need. But it's hard to see him as anything. A child killer just seems very almost small for what it seems like he is. So it's hard to say, and I did like that in the remake. They kind of went full on. They didn't avoid it. They said, "No, this is what he is. He is a child predator in every way." And I liked that that they weren't kind of afraid to say that. But the Elm Street franchise, as popular as it was, and I mean, you know, more so than any of the other slashers, more so than any, you know, recent horror, you know, horror icon or horror film, like, it was pop culture. Like, I remember going into, we had up in Michigan, we had like a franchise called Value City, which was kind of a discount store, like a discount superstore. I'm trying to think of the right term. They sold, I remember going in there, and it was after it had been out for a minute, but they had the Talking Freddy doll. Like, you saw this. You saw these weird crossover dolls and toys. You saw Freddy on TV. He was in pop culture all the time. And it was interesting because, again, like, this was a character that at his, you know, best was a child killer. And he was being marketed two young people, and not even just teenagers anymore, but almost younger. And it was a very weird marketing ploy. I don't think it was, I mean, what's scary is it wasn't a mistake, because horror thrives with the young. Like, horror really, like, it's only till recently, it seems, that, like, horror has started to kind of get skew adult again, and had to look for more thoughtful horror and not as much visceral. But, I mean, when I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, I saw it the first time on video in my teens, you know, when we had rented it, and it's, you know, it was scary as heck. So I get it, like, it makes sense, because these are the kids that are going to see it. Like, back then, you know, I'm sure you can now, you can just rent it online or whatever, bootleg it somehow, you know, download it. But, you know, back then, like, you could just rent it. Have a friend's parent rent it, or their sibling and rent it and just watch it. So it was interesting how he was marketed. But it's funny because, you know, again, like the Friday the 13th, once, you know, Cunningham really established the first Friday the 13th, but then they change it in the second one. And that's an amazing change, and it's really cool that in looking for a sequel, they didn't, like, oh, well, you know, Mrs. Voorhees is alive. They tapped into, as implausible as it was, the idea of Jason being alive. With Freddy, once Craven leaves, it's almost like they're not quite sure what to do. Like, the second film is extremely dark. Like, it's a very, very dark film that gets into abuse and sexual abuse and, I guess, again, sexual predatory behavior, the idea of sexual identity. It's really interesting, really dark. It's just clumsy. And it just feels like a very clumsy film. And, you know, so it loses some of the momentum. I mean, shoot, even the original Nightmare kind of almost loses some of its momentum with the ending, that they tacked on, which I guess fits, but it just seems so silly with Freddy kind of pulling, you know, popping up at the end, and her friends are all alive and everything's great and it's like a dream, and he's, you know, it's just, I don't know, it just seems so corny. And memory serves, Craven wasn't even the biggest fan of that. It was a studio thing, if memory serves. So yeah, like the second entry is again, I mean, arguably darker, in many ways, and you get like a very creepy Freddy in that he's seducing someone, like he's trying to talk them into doing things. So it's interesting that it's not as much of him at trying just to kill people as he is trying to, I mean, he inhabits the main character. And then you get to the third, and the third, it was funny because it feels a lot like final chapter for Friday the 13th, in that it just kind of goes all in. And it's super weird and super surreal, and it plays big time into the dream aspect. It brings Nancy back. It really expands the story. You get to know more about who Freddy was and what he was, and it's really, I mean, there's a reason it's considered the, you know, the second best Nightmare, and it's really memorable. But you started to see kind of the turn of him telling the jokes, you know, with the "Welcome to Prime Time, bitch." Like, they had an edge to them, so it works, and it's so mean. And I think that's one of the things where people started kind of letting him get away with this because they were mean-spirited. But from there, you know, you start going rapidly downhill with 4, 5, 6. Like, the makeup gets sloppier, and I feel bad saying that because, you know, obviously people have their vision for what he should look like. People have their vision for the movie, and like they had more. Like, there were much more interesting directors on the Nightmare films than on the Friday films. Like, Friday films, and again, like, there are some really good directors on the Friday films. I think a lot of, with the Friday movies, the studio got involved too much and hampered things. With the Nightmare movies, I think it was just a indecision on what tone to take. Like, do you try to make him funnier and go even more mainstream with him? Or do you keep it dark? And they decided to keep it, make him funnier and go more mainstream. And even Robert Englund kind of thought that that was good and intentional, that the humor was intentional. It was kind of the natural course. And I disagree. Though I get, you have to evolve it to some degree. If you're going to keep a franchise going like that, you have to evolve it. But they just get that makeup gets clumsy. It gets like, it's not as horrifying, and it seems sillier. And again, I don't know if it was supposed to be an aging effect, like he was just his, like, almost aging in the dreamscape. But it just didn't look as good. It became more about the gags, and you got more and more elaborate gore gags or gross out gags. I remember part 5, maybe. One of that, I think it was part 5, that was cut, you know, drastically cut, but came out uncut eventually. And the gags are interesting, but they feel like gags. They stop the movie because there's these drawn out, like, him kind of torturing people to death. And it's not, they're not mean-spirited per se, like a Hostel, but it slows the movie down, and they're not fun, really. Like, there's one where he's forcing a girl to eat and she's got an eating disorder. He's forcing her to eat to death. There's one where the girl's arms turns into a bug. There's one where a guy turns into a motorcycle. Like, it's just, they're silly. They're silly gags. And again, I get it in that his weren't monster kind of, not like, they're surreal gags. They're not as horrifying. But I mean, I think they nailed what they should have done in the third one with the puppet master kind of one, with the person, their veins as the strings, and the girl being pulled into the TV, and you know, some of that surreal stuff worked really well. But as the films kind of went on, 4, 5, 6, they got cornier and cheesier and just oddly elaborate. I like that they pulled some of the characters from 3 into 4. I think that was great. I like that, you know, with the Nightmare, first 4 Friday films, almost even the first 6, you can even say, with Tommy Jarvis, like, there is some carryover in those, and that's great, and I love that. And they do some of that with the Nightmare series, like where there's almost a handing off the baton, and they kind of carry that on a little bit. And I think that's great. I think that's a great plan. It's just, again, the movies felt so sloppy. The writing was so bad. The gags were bad. And then they tried to, you know, Freddy's dead, and I remember seeing that at the theaters, and it was 3D, and it was this big deal, and it was fun to see in 3D. Like, I was super stoked, but it was funny. You got these glasses, and I have them around here somewhere, and it's only the last couple minutes that are in 3D, but it just feels so silly. Like, as much as people, like, go on about how bad Jason Goes to Hell is, Freddy's Dead is the same kind of shtick in that, like, he's a demon, and he goes to hell, and it's all these, and you see little, like, floating demons at the end, and it's just, it's so corny. And everything they had built up in these first couple movies, you know, first three even, like, kind of falls into a mess, and it's only until we get the new Nightmare that it's, the ship is righted, when Wes Craven comes back. And it's funny, because it's kind of like, you know, Carpenter getting involved with Halloween again, and to some degree with the newest one, in that it was kind of like it'd gone so far off the rails, and Craven felt so, you know, it's his baby, and they were able to talk him into coming back. And, you know, he came back, and they actually played Nancy, and they got all these people back. And it's great, and it's a surreal movie, and it delves into the dreams even deeper than the first one did. And the idea of what's real, and it's great, and it gets into kind of the idea of the pop fandom that Freddy had. Like, it's just, it's a really good film, and it was a great way to end the franchise. And Freddy versus Jason, I mean, it's just kind of, it's one of those, like, it stands between both franchises, and Freddy is creepy still, and he's telling wisecracks. Like, it's the amalgam of all the Freddies, but his makeup is creepy. They even do kind of a demon version of his makeup, which they do, I think, in Final Nightmare, or New Nightmare. And I like that. I like the idea of Freddy had become kind of a dream demon that, like, in this, like, they decided, hey, hell exists, and he is this kind of, he has become more powerful now. I liked that. That was pretty cool. That's an interesting idea. And Freddy vs. Jason is just, it is the summation of these two franchises. They really do well, like, representing both characters, and the fights are fun. It's a silly movie, but it's exactly what you wanted. Like, these team-up kind of movies aren't going to be scary. They're going to be fun. It's super bloody, which I was shocked. Like, I just started rewatching it recently, and I hadn't seen it in a while. I'm shocked at how bloody it is. But it's a fun movie, but you know, they kind of stands out. The movie stands kind of between the franchises, but outside of them. Like, Jason's so big, it's almost too much. Like, he's just huge. But with the new Nightmare, though, like, it was a great capper. I think that's a great finale. I wish Jason had good, kind of a equally good finale. Like, I mean, Jason Goes to Hell is actually pretty fun and pretty final, you know, but then they had to do go to space and this and that. And I think, you know, with these kind of characters, I wish they would, if they're not going to do arcs, do them kind of like Marvel used to with the ages. Like, there's the Silver Age and the Bronze Age and blah, blah. And basically say, hey, or kind of the Godzilla eras. Like, hey, this was an era. This was Robert Englund. That was an era. That era is closed with New Nightmare. That era's done. We're going to let it sit for a few years. Then we're going to recast Freddy. We're going to do something different with it, you know, and see what we get. And I think that'd be great. It kind of ends up as a remake-ish, but you can kind of go in different directions, and you can kind of, you know, see where it takes you, and I like that. But yeah, like, overall, there's a lot more to like in the Nightmare series than the Friday series. I just prefer the Friday series. I think it stays true to its roots, and it's more fun. It does more interesting things, frankly, with Nightmare. It gets so bogged down in making Freddy kind of an icon and almost like the hero. He's the anti-hero. And, I mean, people cheered Jason killing people, but, like, he never really became a larger-than-life personality. Like, you know, Hodder gave him a personality. But with Freddy, like, Freddy was it. You didn't care about who anybody else was. You went for Freddy. You went to see him tell his jokes, kill people. You thought it was great. And that's just... you know, that's horror, and that's horror fandom. But I think, like, if that happens organically and people do it, great, but you shouldn't lean into it too much, because I just think it demeans the series. So, I don't know, it's one of those, like, I like that Freddy kind of had a good ending. Man, 4, 5, 6 are just, there's some clumsy entries. Because I forget how many, like, films there are in the series. I think 4, 5, 6, I think there's something like that, but they're just so bad. They get so bad, and they're hard to watch. I'm not even really a big fan of Part 2, but at least it's so dark, and the makeup is so good, it's compelling. So, I don't know. It's interesting. Again, so many different visions for these things. I wish they could get people that would shepherd them through the whole thing, but I get why they can't in some ways, because it gets expensive, and these are studios that want to cut costs at every turn, so it is what it is. But yeah, so I like the series. I like the Nightmare series. It's never been my favorite. I always was more into Friday the 13th and then Halloween, which has its own problems. But so yeah, hope you are well, Traveler, and I will be back again. And I'm sure I'll start talking more about slasher franchises as we move forward. I'm not sure if it'll be the next one, but soon. You take care, friend. Bye. Oh, hey. If for some reason you found this and didn't find it on my blog, my website is spookychris.com. I'm a writer. I have tons of books out. I have stories on my blog and just kind of random stuff. So look me up. Take care.